Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, Unwavering 21st Century Activism, a new exhibit at the African American Museum of Iowa in Cedar Rapids that marks the historic moment we're living in right now. But first, we're going to explore the past. The first portion of the Iowa African American Heritage Trail was dedicated earlier this month. It guides people through Waterloo and Cedar Falls, exploring significant places and moments in Iowa history. Places and moments often left out of history books and curricula. Many people and organizations work together to make this happen, but Charles Pearson is the driving force behind the creation of the trail. He is president and CEO of Pearson Consulting in Waterloo, and he is on the line with me now. Hello, Chuck.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Congratulations. This is exciting. I know you've been working for this for a long time.
Yeah. At least 10 years, or maybe a little bit longer than that, but yeah, a great project. A lot of support statewide. The Iowa State Historical Society, the Iowa Department of Culture Affairs, different museums, cultural resources throughout the state was a big contributor to the Iowa African American Heritage Trail.
Tell me about the genesis of the idea. When did you first come up with this?
I didn't really come up with it right away because originally I was in the Quad Cities and I was working with St. Ambrose University trying to do a diversity project. And originally we did the Iowa Civil Rights Trail. So that way, when it came to the issues of civil rights in our state's history, we wanted to show how the immigrants, along with the African Americans, how civil rights manifested itself into what it is now, based on our state being one of the top five states in American history that been supporting civil rights since we became a state. And then from there, I noticed that when it came to the state's African-American history and resources, there weren't really any. There wasn't no real inventory of stories. A lot of the stories that Black communities wanted to see developed, they really didn't have like a support group that like just focused on African American history and developing those resources. So I felt like creating the Iowa African American Heritage Trail would open doors for a variety of people to be able to not only tell their story, but also connect people to the story.
I think back to the Iowa history education that I got, you know, 35 years ago, and you're absolutely right. Black history was barely a part of that at all in Iowa. And as I grew and did more research and learned things on my own, there have been so many times where I've been shocked that I never heard about this or I have never learned about this. And I know many other Iowans have had the exact same experiences. And you've had those experiences too in learning about elements of Black history in Iowa that nobody's ever talked about this.
Sure. I think over a period of time, what I learned was 97% of our state's history is Caucasian or European, tied to European history. And I think the other part is a lot of the Black history over a period of time in Iowa, it's been magnified bigger than what it really is. So let's say, for example, in Blackhawk County, the city of Waterloo's African-American community is like highly populated. But when it comes to historical initiatives or projects like the Iowa African American Heritage Trail, you have to magnify those stories so people can actually see it, because a lot of the history of the immigrants, especially immigrants that were known as colored, because in Iowa, the word colored was really targeted towards immigrants that might have been Asian, Hispanic, Lithuanian. So anybody that wasn't true American, in Iowa, we put them in a colored category. In the South, if you say the word colored, it was specifically targeted to Black people. And so in Iowa, you have a lot of confusion because you had a great migration of Blacks from the South that if you say the word colored, they think you're talking about themselves. But here in Iowa, if you said the word colored, you had a community of colored people, a variety of people from around the world that made up communities of color throughout the state.
In looking at Iowa history, there are some really remarkable things that stand out with regard to Black history, but also the progressive history of this state. And for example, one of those is Alexander Clark and his lawsuit about segregation of schools in Iowa, leading Iowa to be the first state to desegregate public schools. And that's something that I know that Iowans who know about that, a lot of Iowans are very proud about that. Again, that's not something I was taught about when I was growing up. But have you been frustrated by some of these really important things about our state that maybe we haven't been as proud of as we should be?
Absolutely. Even when you talk about Alexander Clark, the state of Iowa was the first free state west of the Mississippi River. So when it came to the issue of slavery, we was the first state in the West that didn't support slavery. Second, when it came to our state constitution, we always said all men and women are created equal. So since 1846, we always looked at men and women on the same platform. I think even bigger than that, the first Supreme Court case in the state of Iowa was for a fugitive slave out of Dubuque, Iowa. Some of the things we just recently learned about Black history, Black Hawk County is the home for the worst place for African Americans in the United States of America. And Cedar Falls and Waterloo, Iowa, and Black Hawk County both shared that title. So when it came to launching the Iowa African American Heritage Trail, originally, we were going to do it in the Quad Cities because we had a lot of support there. Yeah, a lot of historians that understood the process. But when we got to Black Hawk County, you could tell there was a big gap. I think the biggest gap was you didn't have a historical society. So without a historical society, you really don't have nobody in the community or volunteers that's taking that information and placing it somewhere. And then when it came to racism, you could really see how racism and history looks like in Black Hawk County, because to me, I didn't have nowhere to go. I went to the Grout Museum. They didn't have an archive. I went to the John Deere Museum. They didn't have an archive. I worked with Silas and Smokestacks. They didn't have an archive. Went to the Waterloo Community Schools, went to the libraries there. They didn't have an archive. The Waterloo Public Library had an archive, but it wasn't a lot. It was just enough, you know, to say we have something. So in Cedar Falls, I said, okay, I'm going to go to Cedar Falls and see what the heck. If Cedar Falls has some Black history, that would be amazing for the county, because now we don't just have to focus on Waterloo anymore. So lo and behold, we started working with the Cedar Falls Historical Society and found out that the first Black resident of Black Hawk County actually lived in Cedar Falls. And if you know where the Ice House Museum is at, I want to say it was the Sturgis family sold some property to the Overman family, in which the Overman family had Black family members that moved to Cedar Falls with them. And I was really upset at the time, because you got almost over 100 years of African-American history right there in Cedar Falls, Iowa. But some of the white historians in years past decided that story wasn't worth preserving. And the other thing about Cedar Falls is that they had a property on the United States National Register of Historic Places, the Cedar Falls Train Depot, and there's a direct link of fugitive slaves coming north, stopping in Cedar Falls to continue their journey. So you have, like I said, over 100 years of African-American history in Cedar Falls, Iowa, but you also had white historians that knew these stories but kind of ignored them. And that's kind of like the same blueprint across the state.
Well, and for people who aren't familiar with Cedar Falls and Waterloo, it's a metropolitan area. The cities touch. There's really no separation, physical separation, between Cedar Falls and Waterloo. But it's one of the most segregated communities in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just two, 3 years ago, Cedar Falls and Waterloo shared the title of the worst place for African Americans in the United States. And the thing about it was, I had a conversation with the group was called the 24/7 Wall Street Report. And one of the gentlemen or one of the researchers that contacted me, and what they were basically saying when it comes to Cedar Falls local government and when it comes to the city of Waterloo's local government, they have never invested in African-American history or resources. So if you look at the city of Cedar Falls, if you look at their department head, or really if you look at the Historical Preservation Commission, because a lot of times if you do projects like what I'm doing, you'll work with the Certified Local Government Program. But if you don't have commissioners or government volunteers, or if you don't have city planners that has ever planned on Black initiatives or Black projects, odds are your community resources are gone or they're going extinct. And so what's happened in the state of Iowa, back in 2009, we did an inventory of African-American historic places. And out of 99 counties in 2009, you had maybe like 10 or 11 historical Black neighborhoods or regions with a lot of Black history in it left. Now in 2020, we think that Black Hawk County and possibly Davenport has the last two Black communities or neighborhoods in the whole state of Iowa. So that lets you know how gentrification, blight, those types of conversations people have. But historically in Iowa, if you live in a Black community or a Black neighborhood in Iowa, it was segregated. Either it was like housing discrimination or it was in some type of industrial low end part of our state. And even though these locations are historically tied to the Black community and these segregated areas are significant to our Black community story, you had department heads, you had county supervisors, you had realtors all taking a red pen and redlining where Black people could live, where we could play. But now in 2020, or even in 2021, these historical Black regions of Iowa doesn't qualify for federal funding because...
Chuck, we're going to have to pick this up in just a moment. We have to take a short break. I'm talking with Chuck Pearson about the Iowa African American Heritage Trail.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll learn about a new exhibit at the African American Museum of Iowa in Cedar Rapids. It's called Unwavering 21st Century Activism, and it tells the story of the historic moment we're living in right now, as well as other modern activist movements. Right now, we're talking about the Iowa African American Heritage Trail. The first part of the Iowa African American Heritage Trail was dedicated earlier this month. It guides people through Waterloo and Cedar Falls, exploring significant places and moments in the history of Black Iowans. And with me is Charles Pearson. He is the driving force behind the creation of this trail, and he's been working very hard for the last decade to preserve Black history in Iowa and tell the stories that haven't been told. He's president and CEO of Pearson Consulting. And Chuck, just before the break, we were talking about how some of these stories were very nearly lost. I'm sure that there are many stories that have been lost. At this point in time, though, when you went to the Cedar Falls Historical Society, you created a partnership in developing this trail. Did you find that people were receptive and excited about this?
Not only was I surprised, it's humbling to be from the Cedar Valley. The past 2-4 years, our region has been under the microscope on a national platform, anywhere from coronavirus to being the worst place for African Americans. When we got to Cedar Falls, I want to name is Julie Huffman. She's the head of the Cedar Falls Historical Society. When I asked her to jump in to help me out, not only did she jump in, but it transcended. Now we had the Cedar Falls Historical Preservation Commission. they jumped in and helped with the research and identifying landmarks. Then all of a sudden, Mayor Ron Green, he jumps in. We had a great conversation about civil rights and activism in Cedar Falls. He jumped in. Then you had, I think the big one for me was the University of Northern Iowa's rugby team, the women's rugby team. They helped raise money to get the markers in Cedar Falls. So the markers that we're going to place in Cedar Falls, you had a women's rugby team raise the funding. But now you also have, for example, I had a great conversation with a gentleman named Eric with the special collections at the Rye Library, and they want to do something when it comes to the university library and their resources. So just being able to identify not the University of Northern Iowa's African-American history resources, but identify the city of Cedar Falls' African-American history and resources, and then partnering with the university to tell a broader story has just been awesome. I got to take my hats off to the Cedar Falls community for really jumping in.
So tell us a little bit about what is on the trail. I know you have big, big plans for the future as well, so we'll talk about those before we run out of time. But tell me about this first leg of the Iowa African American Heritage Trail.
Yeah. So what we wanted to do, I spent some time with Kim Manning and Tavis Hall with our area's Convention and Visitors Bureau. So we wanted to see how the trail could have economic impact and economic vitality. So we had to have an inventory of specific sites that tourists not only could experience, but they also could go somewhere and eat. They also can go to the restroom. They also could see other contributing sites along with the sites that we created. So the other part we also wanted to do, we didn't want the Iowa African American Heritage Trail to depend on resources that really can bring the economy up. We were looking at ways, for example, you have five historical black neighborhoods in Wireless, but people didn't know we had five historical black neighborhoods. So what I did was I designed a trail system. It's called Highway 63 African American Cultural Corridor. So if you come on Highway 63 through Waterloo, you're now connected to three of the five historical black neighborhoods. And within that corridor, you have somewhere between 200 and 300 African-American small businesses that people don't know about or haven't recognized, and creating partnerships with some of these African-American small businesses within their own corridor, these people can see the economic vitality that can come from it. But then the other small businesses that also exist, or let's say like Allen Hospital, some of these other people, to have that relationship and partnership with the African-American business community, the nonprofit organization, and having a trail system to connect everybody is like a big deal for everybody right now.
With the stories that you're telling, when people travel the trail, one of the things that I know you've been frustrated with in how African-American history is told in Iowa is that it's often told through crises and seen through a negative lens. How do you celebrate the positives without obscuring history?
Yeah, I think for me, what was frustrating, if you were a white historian and you were 70, if you're a white historian and you're 70, 80, 90 years old, so when in your younger days in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you have white historians that altered our history. And for the purpose of federal funding, state funding, I'm not sure what it was, but instead of some of our historians of years past doing the right thing and telling the whole story, what ended up happening was you had historians in our state that not only altered the history, but they put it in a situation where it might get lost and forgotten forever. So what I had to do was say, okay, I don't want to be around racially motivated black or white people. So I started working with the youth. I started just dedicating. I dedicated maybe like 4 years just working with kids, college students, high school kids, middle school kids, and strategically figuring out a way where they could be the drivers of the Iowa African American Heritage Trail. I think what worked for me was a lot of the public schools that had high populated black students. So, for example, in Waterloo, Walt Cunningham, is 90% all black kids. I felt like if I could create a special collection just for schools that have heavily populated black students, that this special collection within their institution could create a relationship with the public libraries, and then create a relationship with community colleges. So that way, kids now have a way of driving this thing one day. Because I feel like the generation right now, white and black people right now, the older generation, I think we're going to be, they're in the way of the younger generation being able to grab that history and build it up to something.
If I want to travel the African American Heritage Trail in the Cedar Valley right now, how do I get started?
Well, we're not ready yet.
Okay.
Yep. So where we at, coronavirus kind of set us back a little bit. It really actually set us way back. So what we're doing now is we're
in so many ways, Chuck, All right.
Yeah. So we felt like if we take our research and create a database through a website, and then we're going to also build an interpretive research center. So the Iowa African American Heritage Trail, using technology, our goal is to take our research, our information, our brochures. I'm definitely looking forward to talking to Mayor Green again, because he runs the web department at the University of Northern Iowa, and they already have some maps and things that we could already use and upgrade. So I think right now it's just keep, chipping away. And then once coronavirus kind of fades away, and once tourism is back where it could be at, then I think when it comes to the destinations and the bus tours and the field trips, they're going to be really magnified. But right now, people kind of like intimidated to really be part of the tourism industry right now. So we just kind of take a back seat.
Well, when that time comes, I hope you will take me on a tour, and I'll bring a recorder so that we can take the rest of the state along with us. But let's also talk about your dreams for the future. You've been working so hard on preserving this history. Do you feel like the African American Heritage Trail is the key to sharing these stories?
I don't know if it's the key, but I definitely know it's a tool that people can use. I think to having the Iowa African American Heritage Trail gives individuals a platform to individually contribute. A lot of times, when African Americans do projects, you have like a lot of groups or different faith-based institutions. They kind of like dictate the pace. Well, with my program, if you have a family story, if you own land, if you're an individual property owner, if you're trying to think of something to teach your kids about black history within your community, that's what the Iowa African American Heritage Trail is built on. If you are if you're a person of color, so you have a lot of biracial families throughout the state of Iowa. So for example, if you're a black male, you have a white wife and you have mixed kids, in Waterloo, we might look at you as a black family. If you take that same family and you take them to Cedar Falls, or you take them to Parkersburg, or you take them to Pella, they're going to be looked at as a white family. So a lot of times when it comes to the black story, you have to have other pieces tied to it to tell the whole thing. And when it comes to the history of mulattoes, history of biracial people having families, that's another big part of the Iowa African American Heritage Trail that people don't see yet.
What is your vision for the future? I mean, you've started in the Cedar Valley.
Yeah, the big picture. Right now, I'm working in Las Vegas. I got some partnerships in Vegas, and we're trying to make Las Vegas the world's number one African American tourist attraction. The other thing we're working on is called the United States African American Heritage Trail. We took a page from Abraham Lincoln and Colonel Dodge. Fort Dodge was named after him. But when they told Iowa to unite the United States using the Transcontinental Railroad, that was our same approach when it came to creating a United States African American Heritage Trail. We were like, okay, if we can help the state of Iowa with its resources, it'll be a great way to connect the East Coast resources to the West Coast resources using the Iowa African American Heritage Trail. So hopefully in the next 4 or 5 years, everything that we're doing in Iowa will be something people will respect on a national platform when it comes to cultural heritage tourism and Black history.
In doing your research in the Cedar Valley, you mentioned that the Overman family, and again, for people who aren't from Cedar Falls or Waterloo, the Overman family, that's one of the founding families of Cedar Falls, and there's Overman Park right in the center of town, that they had Black family members. Tell me more about that story. It sounds like you uncovered some really interesting things.
Yeah, people got to understand, if you are an immigrant or if you as a person of color in the state of Iowa, you were probably recruited here based on the industry. So when it comes to the history of industrialization, when it comes to the history of transportation, people kind of don't look at that part. And that's where the Overmans come in at, because the Overmans came here trying to use the Cedar River to create power for the city of Cedar Falls. So a lot of times when you look at American history, you need people, you need bodies, you need other people to help you with your projects and stuff like that. So the thing about Overman being the founder of Cedar Falls and also having an African-American family member, and for the city to never have ever told that story, it is huge. I can't even tell you how not even just being able to tell the history of the founder of the city. Now I got people that lived on Iowa Street, Walnut Street. You had school teachers that had indentured servants in Cedar Falls that raised their kids. You know, you had black indentured servants raising white families' kids and taking care of their houses in Cedar Falls. And people drive by these places and been walking by them all their life, and we just now finding them out in 2020.
You also mentioned learning about the Underground Railroad in Cedar Falls. And over the years, the late Doug Jones, who used to be the state archaeologist, was one of the people who'd done an incredible amount of research on the Underground Railroad. So that's something that we've learned so much about in Iowa in the last couple of decades. A lot of things have come to light. And of course, that was history that was purposely hidden because people's lives were on the line. But what are you discovering about the Underground Railroad in the Cedar Valley?
It is so weird. Me and you are on the same page. Doug Jones is the mastermind of the Iowa African American Heritage Trail, the Iowa Civil Rights Trail. He was the backbone of the Iowa Freedom Trail. And he, before he passed away, he made Black history. He put it on the platform. So when they had Preserve, maybe they have like Preserve Iowa Summit, he put Iowa's Black history on the big stage somewhere 6 to 8 months before he passed away. So before he passed away, Doug Jones left his mark on not only when it came to the issue of the rise of the abolitionist movement, but he also understood what civil rights and African-American history needed its own platform. And so a lot of stuff that me and you're talking about and the listening audience is learning about, Doug Jones' name is written all over it. That was my buddy. What was the question you just asked?
About information about the Underground Railroad in the Cedar Valley.
Yes, okay, good question. So that was one of the reasons why we came to the Cedar Valley, because if you look on Doug Jones and the State Historical Society site inventory forms, it should be like the Iowa Freedom Trail site inventory form. Blackhawk County's not on there. And that was a problem. So how is it possible Blackhawk County is not on any inventory? We're not on the Freedom Trail inventory. We're not listed in the state's inventory. We're not listed in local inventories, local government inventories. So, yeah, I've created the inventory. I just haven't had the resources and the time to put it all together. I know what it looks like. I know how it should flow.
Well, I'm so excited about the information that you're uncovering. And I want to ask you, because you've been working so hard on this, you have created a coalition. If people want to help, what can they do?
Absolutely. They can go to my website. It's www.pearsonconsultingllc.org. They can go to that website. I'm working on another project called Preserve Black America. They can go to preserveblackamerica.com. That's another website that I have. If they're interested in something a little bit different than just African-American history, they can email me at iowacivilrightstrail@gmail.com. And if they just want to have a cool conversation with me for about 30, 40 minutes, they can give me a call at 563-209-1170.
Well, Chuck, I can't wait to go on a road trip with you someday in the future on the African American Heritage Trail in Iowa. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Charles Pearson is president and CEO of Pearson Consulting and the driving force behind the Iowa African American Heritage Trail.